Hello, good morning. My name is Kate Carricker Jaffe, and I am an associate scientist at the Alcohol Research Group in Emeryville, California, as you can see here. My research interests center on understanding racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic disparities in alcohol-related consequences and drinking patterns. And today I'll be talking about interactive effects between neighborhood disadvantage and a family history of alcohol problems related to alcohol and drug problems in a national sample of U.S. adults. I'd like to acknowledge my co-investigators on this project from the Alcohol Research Group and the University of Minnesota, and funding support for our research through NIAAA, and also for the National Alcohol Surveys, which were funded by NIAAA as well. And I actually do not have any relevant financial conflicts of interest to disclose to you today. I want to start off thinking about why we should consider neighborhood effects. We all can picture different neighborhoods in our mind, and we know that neighborhoods differ in terms of physical and social resources. And these differences influence health and behavior. And thinking about cities where we've lived and where we've traveled, different neighborhoods come to mind where we would like to live, and neighborhoods come to mind where they might not be as nice places to live. I'm focusing today on neighborhood-level socioeconomic status. And when we think about the relationship between socioeconomic status and health outcomes, we all kind of have an understanding about how individual-level characteristics might relate to somebody's socioeconomic position and how that might be related to their individual behaviors and experiences and their eventual health outcomes. And on top of that, we're lying over at the community socioeconomic context that might be related to different norms related to health risk behaviors, as well as different services, amenities, alcohol outlets, things like that. And those might have additional influences on behavior and health outcomes. I'm also interested in whether these neighborhood effects maybe matter more for some people than others, or whether they only matter for some groups. And that's an important question to think about when we're thinking about contextual effects. So we're going to be talking today about moderated effects, looking at family history of alcohol problems. Now, disadvantaged neighborhoods have received a lot of attention in public health for a variety of reasons. There are a lot of aspects of disadvantaged neighborhoods that might put somebody at increased risk of developing health risk behaviors and health negative health outcomes, such as generally stressful living conditions, which may lead to the use of alcohol or other drugs to cope with such stress. And this might be particularly problematic for residents with limited coping skills due to family history of alcohol problems. Disadvantaged neighborhoods often have fewer resources to sanction antisocial behavior to maintain social order. And this could create elevated risk for people with social networks that involve problem drinkers or alcoholics, including family members. So reduced resources to cope with these environmental stressors may result in higher incidence of alcohol or drug problems among people with a family history of alcohol problems who live in disadvantaged neighborhoods, which is the question that I'm interested in looking at today. So this data set uses survey data from the 2000 and 2005 National Alcohol Surveys, which are computer-assisted random digit dial interviews of a national sample of adults ages 18 and older, with oversamples of African Americans and Hispanics, as well as oversamples from low population states. You can see here the response rates are somewhat modest, although they're typical for telephone surveys conducted during this time. And these data have been linked with data from the 2000 census at the tract level to characterize the neighborhood socioeconomic context. The sample size is a little over 11,000, 64% of whom were current drinkers. The average age was 44, and you can see here the proportions of different ethnic groups, the majority being white. Approximately 50% of the sample had incomes below $40,000 a year, but slightly more than half of the sample had at least some college education. Okay, the measure of family history of alcohol problems that I'm using is a little bit concentrated. It's whether someone has both first and second degree relatives who are problem drinkers or alcoholics. Our two outcome variables are alcohol-related consequences in the past year, so whether somebody reports two or more of 15 different negative consequences in the domains of interpersonal problems, work, legal, or health problems, as well as one or more of three problems due to their own drug use in similar domains, such as getting into an argument or fight, losing time from work, or having a serious problem due to their drug use. Neighborhood socioeconomic status was based on two composite indicators. Disadvantage was an average of 5 indicators of low socioeconomic status, and affluence was an average of 4 indicators of high socioeconomic status. And neighborhoods were classified based on these two measures, with the top 25% being classified as having high affluence, the bottom 25% being classified as high disadvantage, and the middle 50% being considered middle class. So looking at the prevalence of our outcomes, this graph shows the proportions of the sample who engaged in heavy and problem drinking and drug use. With about 20% of the sample reporting heavy drinking in the past year. When we look at people with a family history of alcohol problems, you can see those with a positive family history had significantly higher rates of all of these problem alcohol and drug outcomes in our sample. Sort of as we would expect to see. The analyses I'm presenting are just logistic regression models using the survey weights. They are multivariate models adjusting for socio-demographic characteristics. Most importantly, when we're considering neighborhood socioeconomic status, we're adjusting for individual indicators of income, education, and employment. Okay, we can see here that the moderation hypothesis was not supported for alcohol problems. We can see that there's an increased odds of alcohol problems for those with a positive family history, and a reduced odds of alcohol problems for those in affluent neighborhoods compared to middle class neighborhoods, but there was no interaction of these two effects. For drug problems, however, there was a significant interaction between disadvantage and family history of alcohol problems. And so the relationships between family history and the problem outcomes are shown here on this graph. We can see that there are significantly higher rates of alcohol problems for people with a positive family history of alcohol problems, regardless of the neighborhood context. So that's these three solid lines here at the top. In contrast, for drug problems, there's really only a significant association between family history and drug problems for those people who are living in the most disadvantaged neighborhoods in our sample. So overall, people with a positive family history of alcohol problems were almost 3 times more likely to also report alcohol problems of their own in the past year. When we were looking at drug problems, we can see that the relationship was really confined to those people in disadvantaged neighborhoods who have 7 times the odds of experiencing drug problems if they're living in disadvantaged neighborhoods as if they have a positive family history of alcohol problems, and that relationship does not attain in either middle class or affluent neighborhoods in our sample. So that sort of raises the question about what's really going on with these people who are living in these disadvantaged neighborhoods. We can see here that the people in our sample who had a positive family history and who live in disadvantaged neighborhoods also may just have more serious substance use issues. They're significantly more likely to engage in weekly marijuana use, to use multiple drugs in the past year, and also to use alcohol and drugs simultaneously than their counterparts in either middle class or affluent neighborhoods. So we can see here that the unadjusted odds ratios are either only significantly related in the disadvantaged neighborhoods or significantly stronger in the disadvantaged neighborhoods compared to the middle class or affluent neighborhoods in our sample. So as with all research, I'm going to have to put some caveats out there for you. These are cross-sectional surveys, and we are not accounting for length of residence in the neighborhood. We do know from at least one recent longitudinal study that there is a somewhat of a downward drift of alcohol-dependent individuals into disadvantaged neighborhoods over time. However, that same study found that neighborhood disadvantage also predicted the development of dependence over time. So it's sort of a bidirectional relationship there. In our sample, whether or not someone had a family history of alcohol problems was not related to the neighborhood's socioeconomic status at the time of the interview. We also, as I mentioned, had somewhat low response rates for the national alcohol surveys, one of the other considerations to think about is in these random digit dial population-based studies, we're typically missing some of the heaviest drinkers, which might tend to show an even stronger effect of some of these relationships. Another caveat is that I'm limiting here our discussion to publicly available census data, and which is nationally representative and easy to interpret. And there's other indicators of the neighborhood context that might be particularly relevant when we're thinking about the development of alcohol and drug problems, such as the availability of alcohol and drugs in neighborhoods, as well as social norms and social, more explicit social network characteristics related to alcohol and drug use. That says the National Alcohol Survey does have some distinct strengths that make it an important resource for looking at these kinds of effects. As I mentioned, it is a nationally representative data source with oversamples of African Americans and Hispanics. And because it's the National Alcohol Survey, there are very in-depth measures of alcohol use patterns as well as problems and dependence. So our findings suggest some implications for prevention. Based on these results, we should continue to focus our efforts on preventing alcohol-related problems in all types of neighborhoods, but particularly perhaps attending to those people who have a positive family history who might be at increased risk, regardless of where they're living. And I also would suggest that we make sure to extend our outreach efforts to those people with a family history of alcohol problems who find themselves in disadvantaged neighborhoods, in order to reduce drug problems in our communities. Future research should definitely start looking into what some of these mechanisms might be. As I'd mentioned, you might have coping skills deficits among people with family histories, but they also might have lower levels of social support that might prompt them to turn to substance use, as well as differences in social norms and social network risk factors for the development of drug problems over time. And of course, these are cross-sectional data, so it's not shedding much light on the causal sequence here that's going on from the initiation of substance use to the development of problem use. And we are holding questions to the end, but thank you for your attention.